not have considered is donating your car to KZFR 90.1 FM. It's easy, and your unwanted car, boat, or truck will help provide quality programming for KZFR. So if making a pledge is not your thing, but you have an old car you no longer need, call 888-593-7288 to schedule a convenient time to pick it up. Or go to www.kzfr.org to donate online.
That'll help. Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls, and smoothies blended with coconut water. And you can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open from Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Saturday from 11 to 3 with to-go and catering available. For more info, you can find them at I Love Ohm Foods and on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. He's licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available. Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. And welcome to show 1931, the July 31st, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights, animal news, and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. On today's show, we'll be covering an interesting analysis piece in this week's Washington Post that takes a look at the stereotype that animal advocates care more about non-human animals than human animals. And next, we'll have an audio piece addressing that often heard phrase, "But what I eat is a personal choice," when talking about vegans. Then we'll talk about a vegan poster campaign in London and end with some good news about Virgin Airlines and United Airlines and their disengagement with SeaWorld. All right. Danny is not in the studio today, so it's another solo show with yours truly, Jeannie Trezino. Just a heads up for folks that the Chico ER published another article in its ongoing series on being vegan in the North State. Local reporter Natalie Hansen's article covered the topic of shopping vegan in a smart way in Chico. And she did a nice job of covering vegan options at local stores and even at our local supermarkets. I encourage you to check it out at chicoer.com. And on to our news piece. I was really pleased to see this article by Yon Sue Park and Benjamin Valentino of the Washington Post publish this really thoughtful analysis, breaking open the stereotype that people fighting for animal rights don't care about human rights. It's been a good year for animals, at least for non-human animals. The Economist declared 2019 the year of the vegan. Demand for meatless burgers at major fast food chains has grown so fast that producers have been unable to keep up. High-end fashion houses like Gucci and Calvin Klein are now completely fur-free. And even the electric car company Tesla has begun offering a vegan version of its vehicles with synthetic leather seats and trim. Increased concern for the rights of animals is not only changing what we eat, wear and drive, it has begun to change our laws. In June, Canada passed a new law that many are calling the Free Willy Bill, making it illegal to keep whales and dolphins in captivity. In the same month, New York State Legislature became the first to pass a bill banning cat decline. We covered that last week. That is a practice that many animal rights advocates say is cruel and unnecessary. Last year, the New York Supreme Court heard a habeas corpus case for a 47-year-old elephant named Happy, who was in captivity at the Bronx Zoo. Stephen Wise, the lead attorney for the group The Non-Human Rights Project, argued that Happy is a legal person entitled to bodily liberty. And we talked about that and what animal rights in that case means, what habeas corpus means in the case of a captive wild animal. The article goes on to say, in promoting animal rights, advocates have frequently analogized the plight of animals to human rights issues of the past. While animal rights advocates assert that the protection of animals is a natural next step in the expanding circle of human rights, others view animal rights as a sentimental cause for animal lovers. Some resent that many humans seem to care more about the suffering of animals than their fellow humans. Despite the increasing importance of animal rights in our politics and society, however, we still know very little about why some people support animal rights more than others do, or whether there is a connection between support for animal rights and human rights. To explore that, the authors of this piece, Yon Su Park and Benjamin Valentino, conducted a study of both individual attitudes and state policies regarding human and animal rights. To explain the individual variation in respect for animal rights, they drew on survey data collected by the General Social Survey, GSS, in 1993, 1994, and 2008 from roughly 1,500 Americans. The GSS asked questions about both support for animal rights and human rights, as well as a host of questions that capture various traits they believed might be correlated with support for animal rights. The traits that they looked at included political ideology, wealth, religious beliefs, and gender. They found that that political conservatives and more religious Americans were less likely to support animal rights. Women were much more likely than men to support them. Most interestingly, however, they found that attitudes about LGBT rights, universal health care, welfare for the poor, improving conditions of African Americans, and supporting birthright citizenship for U.S.-born children of undocumented immigrants, the Dreamers, were strongly correlated with views about animal rights. Some of these effects, in fact, were very large. Americans who indicated on a 5-point scale that they strongly favored increasing governmental assistance to the sick, for example, were over 80% more likely to support animal rights than those who strongly opposed it. These findings hold even after controlling for a variety of potentially confounding factors, including political ideology. In other words, people who supported an expansive conception of human rights and welfare were also more likely to support animal rights. States' animal rights laws are associated with human rights laws. The authors also wanted to know whether variations in support for human rights might translate into stronger support for animal rights in law and policy across the 50 U.S. states and the District of Columbia. To measure state-level animal welfare laws, they use the Humane Society of the United States Humane State Ranking Scores to capture the varying levels of protection each U.S. state has given to disadvantaged and excluded human populations. They use the LGBT policy tally provided by the Movement Advancement Project, MAP, and the Anti-Defamation League's hate crime statute data. As in their previous analyses, they found very strong evidence for a connection between animal rights and human rights at the state level. States that afforded stronger protections for LGBT rights and enacted more extensive hate crime statutes tended to have significantly more animal-friendly laws. These results held when controlling for each state's economic dependency on animal agriculture, state-level political ideology, state per capita wealth, and the religiosity of state residents, and also for race. The authors therefore feel that these findings suggest that the belief that animals have rights may reflect humans' underlying conception of rights for themselves, rather than being simply the concern of animal lovers. The definition of what it means to be human and what rights human beings are entitled to is constantly evolving and remains contested, as reactions to the Trump administration's new Commission on Unalienable Rights have made clear. While liberals see the commission as a threat to reproductive and LGBT rights, conservatives see the commission as a means to promote fetal rights and protect religious liberty. The biggest shifts in human rights laws and treaties over the last 200 years have come from an expansion in the number of different rights to which humans are entitled, than from the expansion in the categories of humans considered worthy of enjoying these rights. The abolition of slavery, decolonization, women's suffrage, and the civil rights, disability rights, and the LGBTQ rights movements were not efforts to generate entirely new sets of rights. Rather, they sought to secure the previously marginalized and excluded groups the same rights that others were already enjoying. Animals may one day soon join that circle. And that was a analysis piece from the July 26 Washington Post. It's titled, Who Supports Animal Rights? Here's What We Found, by researchers Yeonsu Park and Benjamin Valentino. I just found that to be fascinating, that, and particularly in the conclusion, the way they framed animal rights as just an expansion of what rights have already been afforded to humans. And then to draw that parallel that we do see over time, at least in the history of our country, these gradually widening circles, right? I mean, the founders were basically wealthy, landed white men. And then we see the vote, the spread of power and habeas corpus rights spreading out through the rest of the population until we come to, like, the 1960s, and we see the civil rights movement. And then in the last two decades or so, we see more LGBTQ rights. So I just thought that was a nice piece. Links to that piece will be posted on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and on to Chico Vegan at Instagram. So you've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino, yours truly. If you want to follow more current events and animal rights-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. So to follow up on that great analysis of the animal rights movement as an expansive movement, I thought I'd share this clip from activist Emily Moran Barwick, who runs the Bite Size Vegan YouTube channel. In this video, Barwick tackles the question of, is eating animals a personal choice? That's a comment that we often hear. If you're not vegan, I know that you've probably thought this and maybe even said it to a vegan friend or acquaintance. If you are vegan, I'm sure that this phrase has come up in conversation with your non-vegan friends and family. I want to warn listeners that there's some very straightforward language in this piece and also some harsh sound effects, but there are no swears and no screams. And so this is a clip from Bite Size Vegan on, is eating animals a personal choice?
You can step on someone's toe, bump into them in line. You can even throw your own feces at them. And still, you will never see someone get as upset and defensive as they do when you tell them what to eat. It's Emily from Bite Size Vegan. Today, I want to talk about dietary choice. Many conversations about veganism find their way to the point of someone saying, well, you can't tell someone what to eat. It's their personal choice. This often comes in the adage, I respect your right to be vegan, so you should respect my right not to be. Now, I'm not here to stomp all over personal rights. Quite the opposite. I want to ask the question of when our right to make our own dietary choices begins to infringe upon the rights of others, whose rights take priority? You see, what we choose to eat has a huge impact on the world in a variety of ways, including environmentally, socially, and morally. The animal products industry is the most environmentally destructive force on the planet, and our choice to eat meat, dairy, and eggs impacts far more than just our stomachs. It tears down forests, uses insane quantities of water, creates massive pollution, and diverts over 80% of the world's crops to livestock, crops that could otherwise easily feed the world's hungry. So while respecting your choice to eat animal products may seem important from a personal freedom standpoint, what about respecting the environment and the future generations that have to live in the wake of our destruction? How about respecting all of the people who can't put food in their stomachs because your right to eat animal products took precedence? This may seem like a pretty indirect effect of dietary choice, but the links are clear when you look for them. The way we live today removes us so severely from the origin of our food and the impact that it has. We walk into a grocery store and grab something or swing through a drive-thru drive-through without a second thought as to where the food came from, whom it came from, and at what cost. We speak of personal choice and respect as animals are tortured and killed at the hands of our appetites. So I will say this, if you choose to eat animal products, then you should be aware of what those choices really entail. So, what rights are more valid? Our right to eat dairy or a mother cow's right not to have her child torn from her side and sent to slaughter? When you choose to eat dairy, you support the veal industry. You sentence a mother cow to a lifetime of forced pregnancies, endless milkings, and infections, all culminating in her body giving out 20 years before her natural lifespan and her being sent to slaughter for cheap meats. When you choose to eat eggs, your right to your breakfast comes at the cost of countless lives. Male layer chicks are ground up alive as they are of no use to the egg industry. Layer hens are kept in cramped sheds on top of one another, even in so-called cage-free and free-range facilities. Their sensitive beaks are cut off without anesthetics. When you choose to eat meat, you are literally putting your right to choose above another's right to live. You may say, but these are just animals. I ask you to look into their eyes and tell me, is that not fear? Do they not suffer? They know what is coming when they walk up the chute to slaughter. They hear the noises. They smell the blood. So please, tell me again what I should respect. It's important that we start to live as though we are interconnected with each other, the animals, and the planet. Because we are. What I choose to put inside my body affects more than just me. Now, I'm not saying that personal rights aren't important. In fact, I'm saying just the opposite. But my rights end where another's nose begins. Just as my rights don't extend to allowing me to go beat someone up, so too should my rights to choose what I eat not extend to choices that are environmentally devastating, take food from the hungry, and torture and murder other beings. That is the opposite of personal rights and freedoms. That is injustice. And that is not something that I will respect.
All right, a little bit of heavy hitting going there. That was a clip from Emily Moran Barwick's Bite Size Vegan. That was actually a YouTube video that she aired back in September 2014. I encourage you all to go ahead and follow the links to that YouTube and check out her channel. She's got a lot of pithy, well-researched, well-footnoted YouTube talks on various issues on animal rights. So but she's done a lot of really, really good work and takes a lot of time with her broadcasts. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino. Our next story is about the Animal Rights Collective, Surge, which has just launched its second poster campaign of 2019 in London. The new campaign features a poster with a picture of a pig taken in a standard UK pig farm with the question, "Can we really call ourselves a nation of animal lovers?" The posters have been placed in some of the busiest subway stations in London, including Oxford Circus. By the end of the campaign, they estimate that they will have been seen by more than 750,000 people. The new campaign follows Surge's previous work, which has sought to highlight animal exploitation. The imaging in question reflect the messaging from the group's 2017 documentary titled Land of Hope and Glory, which featured undercover footage of UK animal farming. Surge's first poster campaign earlier this year featured banners with questions including, what has higher value, taste or life? I'm just going to pause. You think about that. What has higher value to you, your taste buds or the life of another animal? And that was plastered all over the side of London buses, as well as on a huge electronic billboard that features an image of a piglet and a puppy asking that question, what's the difference? Ed Winters, co-founder of Surge, said in a statement to Plant-Based News that in the UK, we pride ourselves on being a nation of animal lovers, yet every day millions of animals are suffering because of the choices we make. And that applies to the United States, too. Surge co-founder Ed Winters went on to say, our aim with these advertisements is to hopefully encourage people to realize the contradictions of claiming to love animals whilst also paying for animals to be killed on our behalf. According to Winters, this latest campaign has a darker tone than its first in order to put the grim reality of animal agriculture in front of the public. He told Plant-Based News that, quote, it was really important to us that we shone a light on the reality of what is happening to animals. When you stand and look over that platform at the poster, it's almost like you're looking directly into the farm itself. It exists as a window into a place that is normally hidden from view. And, you know, we want it to be hidden, too. We really don't want to see what happens on factory farms. We don't want to see the slaughterhouse. He goes on to say, the emotion in the eyes of the pig is so undeniable, and the way the pig is looking straight ahead creates an instant connection between the victim and the consumer. The question then becomes, in that situation, would you help or hurt the pig? Yeah. And that was an article that was in yesterday's Plant-Based News. Surge, the group Surge, launches major animal rights poster campaign in London. And that was written by Maria Chirondo. Well done, well done. Our last news piece is about the expanding ripples of the Blackfish Effect, that 2013 documentary that exposed the cruelty and suffering of orcas and other cetaceans at SeaWorld and other captive marine mammal facilities. In early July, Virgin Holidays announced it would no longer sell tickets or packages to SeaWorld. The decision followed research by the company in which 92% of UK holidaymakers said they would prefer to see animals in their natural habitat. Virgin Holidays joins Thomas Cook, which announced in 2018 that it would be dropping trips to facilities keeping killer whales captive. The move by Sir Richard Branson's travel firm is part of a decision to stop sales and promotion of captive whale and dolphin attractions. According to Joe Thompson, managing director of Virgin Holidays, the brand wants to offer a, quote, more natural at-distance encounter with these types of animals. He added that Virgin wants to focus its efforts on encouraging customers to see these creatures in the wild, as well as supporting the development of sanctuaries for whales and dolphins currently in captivity. And we have talked about that. There is a sanctuary for beluga whales in Iceland that just opened a few months ago. A spokesperson for SeaWorld branded the move disappointing. What else would they say, right? Saying that Virgin had succumbed to pressure from animal activists who mislead and manipulate marine mammal science to advance their agendas. And in a related story, just today, July 31st, United Airlines will no longer sell tickets to SeaWorld and has removed all mentions of the marine park from its United Vacations website. The move was prompted by a request from the animal rights group People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, for the travel company to sever ties with SeaWorld, which continues to exploit marine life for entertainment. PETA Senior Vice President Lisa Lang told Veg News that, quote, United Airlines made the right call to cut ties with a park that confines orcas and other dolphins to concrete tanks that, to them, are the size of bathtubs. SeaWorld is still breeding generation after generation of dolphins to be ridden around like surfboards in sea circus shows, and PETA urges anyone who cares about animals to stay away, end quote. A veterinary report released this year shows that animals held captive at SeaWorld suffer severe stress, disease, and injuries which lead to early deaths. United joins a growing list of companies including Virgin Holidays, Alaska, Delta, JetBlue, Southwest, Spirit, Sunwing, and WestJet Airlines that have cut ties with SeaWorld. So that is some good news. They fall like dominoes once they realize that the public doesn't approve. So make your voice heard. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio hosted by Jeannie Trezino. And now it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar of Events. Please get ready to mark your calendars. I have a couple of events to point out. First, tomorrow, August 1st, is the first day of the Nevada County Vegan Burger Battle. Nevada County restaurants will be offering a bunch of vegan burgers for their customers to enjoy and to vote on. It's a competition. The event will benefit Animal Place Farm Sanctuary, and you can find more details on the Nevada County Vegan Burger Battle Facebook page. Friday, August 2nd, the Stansbury Home Ice Cream Social is happening. That's hosted by the Stansbury Home Preservation Association. It's a very, very sweet little community event. That'll be Friday, August 2nd from 6 to 9 p.m. I mention it because they will have vegan ice cream as an option. That's kind of new. That'll be happening from Friday, August 2nd from 6 to 9 p.m. And the Stansbury House, if you don't know where it's located, it's at 307 West 5th Street. That's at 5th Street and Salem. And the ice cream and it'll be vegan ice cream and strawberry toppings. So for tickets and more information, go to stansburyhome.org or find them on Facebook. And this weekend is the Sonoma County Veg Fest, hosted by Compassionate Living. The Sonoma County Veg Fest, the North Bay's popular celebration of compassionate, healthy, and environmentally responsible living, is happening on Saturday, August 3rd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Santa Rosa Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Veg Fest will feature inspiring speakers, dozens of vendors, two stages, veggie cooking demos, films, fun, and even a companion animal adoption trailer. For tickets and more information, go to www.socovegfest.org. And locally, next week on August 6th, I just want to point out that Hiroshima and Nagasaki remembrance will be happening. This is not specifically vegan related. I just think it's important to remember that during the final stage of World War II, the United States detonated two nuclear weapons over the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6th and August 9th in 1945. The U.S. dropped the bombs after obtaining the consent of the United Kingdom as required by the Quebec Agreement. The two bombings killed at least 129,000 people, most of whom were civilians. What the bombs had produced was concentrated chaos from which no city or nation could easily or rapidly recover. They remain the only use of nuclear weapons in the history of warfare. On Tuesday, August 6th at 9 a.m., there will be a gathering to remember these two sad events in the history of humanity. They'll be held at 1 mile at Sycamore Pool in Bidwell Park, followed by a short walk to a quiet spot upstream for a contemplative bell-ringing ceremony beginning at 9:15 a.m. Please bring bells, flowers, quotes for peace, and chairs. Thanks to Diane Suzuki Brobeck for organizing this, as she does every year. And our final event will be on your calendar for later this month, August 25th. As part of Chico's annual Pride Weekend, the exquisite Leon Bistro presents a gourmet catered brunch on Sunday, August 25th, from 9 a.m. to noon at the Oak Grove Picnic Area in the Lower Bidwell Park. Brunch will feature a variety of vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free options, in addition to the usual fare. There will be live acoustic music in the shade of the park to close out Pride Weekend. The event is a fundraiser for Chico Pride. For more information, go to stonewallchicopride.com. And I just wanted to thank Leon Bistro for always having a vegan option at the end of for the end of Pride. All right. That's it for the calendar. If you have an event to share, go ahead and send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. Or if you have a story idea or some topic that you want covered, shoot me an email. I'm happy to consider everything. And as always, this brings us to the end of the show. We have one last piece of business to close out the show, and that is the Animal Rights Quote of the Week. Today's Animal Rights Quote of the Week is from Colleen Patrick Goudreau, animal advocate, author, and podcaster, who wrote, "Bringing animals into the world only to kill them is not part of the cycle of life. We artificially inseminate animals, kill them years before their natural lifespan is up, then justify it as, quote, natural, comparing ourselves to, quote, other animals who killed or survive. Last time I checked, lions weren't breeding gazelles." Show notes and links to the articles mentioned in today's show will be posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and on Instagram at chicovegan.com. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff. We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, and otherwise abused. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. And please stay tuned for The Real Issue coming up next from 6 to 7 p.m. We have Paul Rourke-Babb in the house. Have a great week, and thanks for listening. This is Jeannie Trezino signing off, saying, remember, be different, be better. Be kind and go vegan.